here to preview that game and many others across the state when it comes to high school football playoffs is Kansas Pregame's own John Betts. John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty excited about some of the matchups coming up this Friday night. Let's begin in eight-man. As I mentioned, it's Osborne versus Dighton. And Dighton, an interesting story, just nine kids and an exciting win over Otis Bison. Osborne with an absolute dominating performance against previously undefeated South Barber on Friday night, game called at half. The Bulldogs seem to be rolling, and Dighton has to make the road trip. Osborne, as I said, apparently made a deal with the devil, as they have four playoff games all at home, which is unheard of, and they'll have to play one game on the road. That'd be at Newton next week if they knock off Dighton. I think Osborne, if they play after the other night, I don't think there's anything Dighton's going to do that's going to slow them down, and I expect Osborne to win. But is there any reason for Osborne to be concerned with Dighton coming into town?
I would say on paper, no. I would say that Osborne would go in a heavy, heavy favorite. But Dighton, what a great story. And, of course, their win the other night, they got a miracle touchdown catch. I believe it was on a fourth and long play. David Kramer made a catch and kind of grabbed the ball. It bounced off of an Otis Bison defender, and Kramer kind of reached around, and the ball dropped in his hand, and he kind of grabbed it behind the back of another defender as they were falling down on the ground. Max Preps picked up the video, and I think it's somewhere over 40,000 views or something like that. And Dighton only has nine players out for football. You may have said that before, but that's amazing. I mean, that's incredible, and that's kind of been their situation for the last 3 years. You know, last year they missed the playoffs as a 7-2 team, and I think they only had 11 players out. And then even in their run to the state championship game 3 years ago, where they lost, they didn't have very many kids on their roster. So just to keep kids healthy over the course of a season that way, let alone to play at a level that you get all the way to the semifinals of eight-man Division II, what a great story. But I can't imagine that they have an answer for Osborne. And Osborne seems to continue to develop over the course of the season. I feel like they're continuing to improve and getting better. One thing, just kind of one random silly thought, I think about these things sometimes, but Brandon Wise, in his first year as the head coach, probably looking at an opportunity to go to the state championship game, may have a challenge in defeating either Hanover or Axtell. But I would say, regardless of the opponent, assuming that Osborne makes it, I mean, I think it's going to be a really quality game. I don't think Osborne is a pushover to either of those teams, regardless of how talented we know that Hanover is and how consistent that they've been. But wouldn't it be interesting if Brandon Wise won a state championship in his first year as head coach with that program and then never had that success again in his coaching career?
Yeah.
And I hate to think about that, but I don't know if you guys remember or not, but Gary Sambo, in his first year at head coach at Smoky Valley, they won the state championship. I believe it was the 3A state title that year. And then he made deep runs in the playoffs, but I don't believe that, and he may have even made it to a title game again, but I don't believe he ever won a state championship again in his career as a coach. And I always like thinking about one-hit wonders, like that, and I'm dating myself here, but like the song by Saigon Kick, "Love Is on the Way."
Yeah, right.
it was a huge one-hit wonder, and I always think, God, it's got to be frustrating to have so much success early in your career and then struggle to achieve that again down the road. And I hope Brandon Wise is not listening, because this is not fun speculation to think about, but this is just the random weird way that my brain works and something I was thinking about with regard to the Osborne team.
Well, and right away when you say something like that, I think of Dan Marino, and Marino's shared the story many times that extremely early in his career he went to the Super Bowl, and it was a lot of success early, talk of the town, and he thought, okay, we lost the Super Bowl, no big deal, we'll be back next year. Never made it back. Made it back to the Super Bowl, and he was a tremendous talent, but it just never quite worked. And I've actually, you and I must be in the same boat, because I've thought about this as well, although I don't think I've said it out loud, is that Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs, you know, he's having such a great year. This could be the best year of his career, and we're all thinking it's going to get better. He could have an injury, things change, maybe just don't have the team chemistry. They go out and they win the whole thing this year, And Andy Reid's then automatically Hall of Famer because he wins a Super Bowl as a head coach. Patrick Mahomes is a toast of the town. And that might be it. That might be the ceiling. So many people I've heard say, oh, you know, Mahomes, the Chiefs are going to win 2, 3, 4 Super Bowls next 10 or 15 years. This might be the window. This might be the year. And you got to grab the opportunity when you have it. And that applies to anybody, whether they're a first-year head coach or a 20th-year head coach. You just can't take success for granted, can you?
And certainly that's better than the alternative of never having that success.
Right.
But I just, you know, specifically when you talk about music, and I was a hair band guy, so that's why I bring up, you know, Psychedelic Kick. But I can't imagine what it would be like to play in a stadium with 100,000 people, you know, going crazy for your music based on the uber popularity of one song. And then watch your career, you know, not make that hit again, and then watch your career dwindle and dwindle and dwindle until finally you're playing at small dive bars in downtown Salida or whatever, wherever it might be, and how frustrating that would have to be to have your career go that way. Again, still much better, you know, much better than never having that opportunity to have that success. But and Brandon Wise, if you're listening, I'm sure it's not going to go that way. I'm sure that this is the start of a long, successful coaching
career. Well, another great example would be, we're speaking of football, Doug Peterson, first year of the Eagles, wins the Super Bowl. There's nowhere to go, nowhere to go but down, and he's finding that out this year as the Eagles are 4-5. All right, let's back to the bracket. You mentioned Hanover and Axtell. Winner of that game is at Axtell. Axtell lost 50-42 earlier this year in a tremendous game. And some people think this is a state championship game between Hanover and Axtell. I wouldn't necessarily go that far. And as you mentioned, Osborne's a very dangerous team. And what's left in the tank? You know, Hanover and Axtell battle each other and ends up being a high-scoring game. And, you know, they're relieved to get through that game and they get to the championship. Think it's going to be a little bit easier. Who knows what might happen? And the kickoff for the 8-man Division II state championship game is a morning kickoff. So that could play something into the game as well. But Hanover and Axtell, you know, Hanover's got the long winning streak. They'll be favored to win this game. Axtell, a team that can throw the ball. They've got an amazing quarterback and receiver duo. These two teams are familiar with one another. I think most people are going to pick Hanover to win. Are you?
I am. And you don't win 37, I think it's 37 games in a row now, just based solely on talent. I mean, that's, I talk about that a lot as well, and everybody always wants to talk about talent that they have all these kids every year, year in, year out, and that's true. They have that kind of talent, but you don't win consistently like that without quality coaching.
Yeah.
And I feel like they probably picked some things up in that first game that they're going to be able to solve. I would guess that they're going to make some adjustments in coverage and what they do defensively. That is probably going to slow down Axtell's offense a little bit. Now, I don't think it's going to be a blowout or a runaway or anything like that, but I think Hanover finds a way to win, and maybe they come up with a 2-touchdown victory this time, you know, versus the 8-point margin before. And then I think they go into the state championship game and they face an Osborne team that has absolutely tremendous team speed. And I think we probably have a really good state championship game between those two. But I've certainly been wrong before, but that's my guess.
John Betts of Kansas Pregame with us, breaking down the high school football playoffs. So we're thinking Osborne and Hanover in the championship game next Saturday in Newton. And if that's the matchup, we'll have it for you on KD Country 94. And, of course, Osborne and Dighton coming up Friday here on KD Country 94. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. 8-man Division I, there's an Osborne connection, also a Baileyville B&B connection. There's a Tipton connection. We can keep going on and on. Steve Turner, head coach of Solomon, the Gorillas, with a terrific win over Madison earlier in the playoffs. And then they won a tight, low-scoring 8-man game, 14-6 over Argonia. They are 10-1, and they host Canton Galva, who won in overtime over South Central, 54-52. And then the other side of the bracket, many people like Central Plains, who absolutely destroyed Hoxie. Then before that, they destroyed Ness City. Central Plains will be hosting at Claflin on Saturday at 2:30 against undefeated St. Francis. So size up those two matchups.
Well, the Canton Galva story is a real feel-good story. That's a really good win for them over South Central on a team that's struggled for you know, quite a few seasons, and Shelby Hoppus has done a really nice job with that program. They beat Solomon earlier in the year. I think the score was 38-40, and I believe that Solomon led like 14-0 in that game, and then Canton Galva scored 32 unanswered points or something along those lines. And Canton Galva is very young. I don't believe they have a senior on their team. Their quarterback is a junior, Landon Everett, and he's more of a fullback than a quarterback. If you watch some film of him when he runs in the open field, he looks for dudes to truck, and he is very physical in that regard. And then they've got a 6'2 freshman receiver named Tyson Struber that's a really talented player. Canton Galva looks to have a string of success over probably the next four seasons, because they also, I think they had an undefeated junior high team, and this is a team to watch for in the coming years. I think Solomon will probably play much better in the rematch. You know, Coach Tiernan is an outstanding coach. I'm sure that they'll make some adjustments. I would really expect this to be a very, very good game. But probably nobody is going to touch this Central Plains team. The more I watch them, the more I look at what they're able to do, the multiple weapons that they have on offense, the number of studs that they have on defense. I would say the only thing that would really hurt them is if their quarterback, Miles Mingus, got hurt. However, we talked about a couple weeks ago that Devin Ryan was their starting quarterback as a sophomore, and he moved out to receiver. And as I understand it from an article that Connor Nickel did for K-Preps, he actually asked to make that move because he recognized that the 6'4", 200-pound Mingus was better than he is. What a great sacrifice that is for an athlete to make for the sake of the team. I think St. Francis probably scores some points against them because they have great team speed. And Coach Fawcett, in his first year there, has done a really nice job after last year. I don't know if you remember, but there was some controversy with the St. Francis team. They had a special school board meeting to decide whether to retain Coach Yates mid-season or not because of, I think it was something like 12 kids quit. You know, they started the season with like 20-plus on the roster, and they got down to just a dozen or so kids towards the end of the year, and that resulted in a coaching change. And Coach Fawcett, I was actually counting, and I was watching the Hodgman County game online, and I was counting, and it looked like there was probably 25 kids out for St. Francis, so he's got the numbers, you know, kind of back where they need to be, and has done a great job, and he's got a great quarterback in the, I believe it's the Dinkle kid, and he's got a speed demon in the Raby kid, and I think they'll probably score some points, but I think Central Plains team, we're potentially looking at one of the great teams in eight-man football history here. I mean, they are just absolutely exceptional at every spot on the field. So I anticipate them winning a state championship in a dominant fashion.
1A, you've got Pittsburgh Colgan. No surprise there. There'll be an Opie. I think a lot of people thought Centralia would play Colgan. Centralia, a late rally, fell 2 points short to Opie. Opie undefeated, and they will host Pittsburgh Colgan. And the other half, it's a Mid-Continent League battle in the state semifinal. Smith Center versus Plainville. Smith Center won the first matchup. This one will be at Smith Center coming up on Friday night. Your thoughts on those two matchups in 1A?
Well, I think on the east side of the bracket, we just don't really know how good those teams are this year, you know, because you look at the way the Smith Center just absolutely dominated the state championship last year, it kind of left you believing that the east side of the bracket was just not on par. Now, they dominated everyone that way last year, and so that's the way things go, but the Smith Center Plainville game earlier in the year, I think the final was 21-10, and I think that game was really actually much closer than that final score is, and I realize that's not a huge margin, but Plainville got stopped driving late in the game, and Smith Center turned around and ripped off a 50-plus yard touchdown run right after that, and just kind of it was in the makings of being an epic contest between these two rivals, and then that just kind of took Plainville's wind out of their sails and kind of ended the game right there. I think that this will be a really good contest. You know, Plainville has a lot of weapons, specifically Finnessy at the quarterback position and Casey. You know, as good of a basketball player as he is, he looks like a football player. He looks like the fullback. You know, he's very physical. He's physical on defense, but, you know, he's also an outstanding basketball talent. But I think this probably ends up being a really good game. I believe that Smith Center finds a way to win, and then it's just really unknown what the east side of the bracket is. I mean, I would guess that I would pick the west side of the bracket regardless. I think that they're probably better, but you know, Centralia was a good team. That their two losses early, close to Mideast League powers, Rossville and Riley County. You know, Riley County shocks Silver Lake last week getting to the semis, and so I think Centralia was a really good team. You know, that means Olpe's a really good team. That means I think Colgan is pretty solid. I was surprised with Colgan's loss to Abilene midseason. You know, people, we talked about this before, but Abilene is a 4A team, but still they're not the Abilene of old that was pretty exceptionally talented. So the east side of the bracket's a little bit unknown, so my pick would be Smith Center, close, and then Smith Center probably to win the state title, but I think it's obviously going to be much closer than last year.
John Betts of Kansas Pregame with us, breaking down the high school football playoffs. We're into the state semifinal round coming up on Friday. You mentioned Riley County. We move on to Class 2A. Riley County winning over Silver Lake for the first time since 1996. And what a big win in overtime over Silver Lake, 40-34. Big surprise to many pundits out there, including you and me, I believe. Humboldt with a win over Rossville by 2, 24-22. Humboldt 11-0 at Riley County, who's 9-2. Hoisington is 9-2. They're at Phillipsburg. Phillipsburg undefeated. What a great win for Phillipsburg, winning by 1 at Conway Springs last week. Hoisington, a team that Phillipsburg really handled fairly easily earlier in the year, but rematches are always scary. So your predictions and thoughts on Class 2A with Phillipsburg. I think for some, including myself, I see Silver Lake gone, and I'm like, this is Phillipsburg's class to win.
Yes, I agree completely. You know, in short, I think that Phillipsburg wins what is probably a closer matchup with Hoisington this time, and then they probably find a way to win over Riley County or Humboldt in the state championship game. Riley County deserves tremendous credit for the comeback that they made, an almost improbable comeback against Silver Lake to win that game. And then Humboldt is, they've gotten no respect this season, and that's because the schedule that they play, those teams have had very little success. I mean, there were limited wins for the opponents that Humboldt played during the regular season, but they've proved it in the playoffs. And, you know, Osage City is a quality team that they beat. Rossville is a quality team, and so they certainly deserve to be where they are, and it's a great season for them. Probably the most significant story to me is that I felt like sometimes Phillipsburg has hit some mental roadblocks in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they got over the hump against Conway Springs, and it was really an excellently played game. They got a couple of PAT kicks. Conway kept taking the lead, and Phillipsburg kept catching up with them, and they got a field goal from Jonathan Hunnicutt, the excellent kicker. They went for two in the third quarter to tie it up at 18. And then defensively, they stopped Conway Springs on all four of their two-point conversion tries, which is, you know, that's huge. That was the difference. The kicking game and their defense against two-point conversions were the difference in that contest. And that was a really great win for Phillipsburg. And I think it probably propels them to a state title game and a state championship. Certainly, they still got to play them, but I really think that they're the best team in the state. And possibly Conway Springs was maybe the second best team in the state. That might have been your de facto state championship game last week.
You mentioned the struggles Phillipsburg's had in the playoffs over the years, and you know, last year losing to Marysville. You know, this Hoisington game's a little bit scary from that standpoint that, you know, you get the big win over Conway Springs. You've already whipped Hoisington. I'm not saying you look past a team in the state semifinals, but such an exhilarating win over a traditional power. And then you turn around and you face a team that you really handle fairly easily. The way Phillipsburg's history has been in the playoffs, this is a game that could bite them. Although on paper, I don't see how that would happen. But I've said that, I think, each of the last 3 or 4 years.
I agree completely. This has total trap game written all over it. But the thing is that Hoisington is very one-dimensional. Uh-huh. You know, they're going to run the ball with Wyatt Pettigo. I believe their quarterback, Paxton, that got injured early in the season, I think he's back, but you know, they're a flex bone team, and they're not going to come out and throw the ball, you know, 30 times a game. And even if they did, I think the back end of Phillipsburg's defense is so fast. You know, I just have a feeling that they will get it done. What could be challenging is if Poison coach Zach Baird says, you know what, we can't just line up and run the ball against these guys. We weren't able to do it early in the year, so we're really going to add some spread look in and do some of those kind of things. And if they're able to do that effectively, you know, most of the times when a team plays what I call identity football, you know, the flex bone triple option is an identity, and it's an identity that usually coaches wear. You know, Randy Dreiling has worn the flex bone. That's his identity for years, and so many guys are running it because he has ran it with such success. I think that if they try to modify or radically change something like that at this point in the season, it is very difficult for them to execute it. And I really think that that would be their only chance to win the game, frankly.
All right, and we'll finish with Class 3A, where we know we'll have an undefeated state champion. That's because four undefeated teams are left standing. Galena, with an amazing win, down 24-0 at Marysville. They come back and win in double overtime, 42-36. They will be at Sabetha at 5 o'clock on Friday. Sabetha, defending state champion in 3A. They roll past Parsons, 62-18. Pratt undefeated, a terrific defense that they have. They shut out Smoky Valley, 46-0, and Smoky Valley was undefeated going into that one. And then Andale, number one team all year long in 3A, they knock off previously undefeated Scott City, 35-14. I think we've said this from day one. We had you on before the season, and we went through the predictions, and we all agreed that Sabetha and Andale would be the state championship matchup in Class 3A, and now both of them are one win away from accomplishing that, but both have some severe tests coming up on Friday.
Yeah, and I still think that that's going to be the state title game, but I think it's going to be probably after a couple of really outstanding games. I think Pratt is very, very good, and Pratt and Andale are probably about to play one of the most physical games in the modern history of football, because they're going to run right at each other, and they're going to hit, and they're going to tackle, and they're going to play with emotion, and they're going to have two passionate, rabid fan bases going crazy. I would say that game is really going to be one that if you're interested in just traveling to a game, I think that Andale-Pratt game is going to be something really special. For Galena, I don't know a great deal about them. I know the Shelton kid was part of our special teams feature, and he is, I believe, he's their quarterback, and he's a really talented athlete. And Bo Sarwinski has done a really great job with that program over the years. I do feel bad for them that I believe they traveled to Marysville last week, right?
Yep.
And now they have to travel to Sabetha. Galena is basically Joplin, Missouri. So, you know, that kind of drive back-to-back, that's going to test kids. I mean, you know, that bus time and preparation in that way, I think that can make things very difficult. But I still think it's going to be Andale-Sabetha. I still think it's going to be Andale that raises the final trophy. But I wouldn't be shocked at all to see any combination of these four teams wind up in the title game.
All right, time for an off-the-wall question. So today, earlier on the sports ticket, I talked about the Amarillo Sod Poodles. They are the – did you hear that?
I did, yeah.
The Sod Poodles and the fight song, if you want to call it a fight song, is absolutely hilarious. The Sod Poodles are the new AA affiliate of the San Diego Padres. The AAA affiliate name is the Chihuahuas. So something about poodles and chihuahuas, it seems pretty intimidating to me. So the off-the-wall question for you, Mr. Betts, is what is the coolest high school mascot, current or retired mascot, that you've ever seen that you just thought, man, that is one cool or unique or weird or different mascot? What is one that just stands out, first one that comes to your mind?
Well, there's so many that I like in Kansas. Do I have to just say one?
Oh, No, you can mention as many as you want.
I love the Heston Swathers.
Yeah.
You know, for obvious reasons, the Swather was manufactured there. And if you've ever been to a Heston game, they actually have a Swather parked up beside their stadium. there's kind of a a berm that goes around the Heston Stadium, and they have a swather parked up there. And if you've ever seen their helmet, they've got a swather on there that has these teeth that looks like it's going to bite your head off or something like that. I'm also a big fan of the Hill City Ringneck. I mean, you know, where else are you going to get a fighting pheasant as a mascot than Western Kansas? I'm also a big fan of the Palco Rooster.
Mm-hmm.
I love the shirts. There used to be shirts that said, "I am a rooster booster." And those are certainly three of my favorites right here from the state of Kansas.
I'll add one, and it's retired now, but I liked the gold bug.
The Kansas I was thinking gold of the bugs. Gold bug, too.
Mm-hmm. Nothing strikes fear in an opponent like a gold bug.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like the color scheme. I just liked how that was put together. The weirdest mascot I've seen in general is the Concordia University out of Minnesota corn cobber. Have you seen that weird looking thing?
I haven't heard that. That sounds pretty cool,
dude. Look that up. It reminds you of the Wichita State weird looking mascot, but it's even creepier. So yeah.
The Wichita State mascot is terrifying.
Yes,
like the Wichita State mascot should be one of the monsters in Monsters Inc. that comes into the bedroom and scares kids because that's like if I woke up and that dude was standing at the foot of my bed, I would scream my head off. It would just be terrifying.
I think I'd be right there and I'd run with my tail between my legs. No question about that.
A celebrity death match between the Wooshock and Pennywise would be phenomenal.
Yes, it would. I'd pay to see that. That'd be terrific. I'd like to see a matchup between a Chihuahua and a Sod Poodle as well. John Betts of Kansas Pregame. Okay, so you've got more work to do here. How you doing on your next publication that's coming out?
Oh man, if I'm being honest, I'm not doing well. It's a massive effort, and we're going to get it pulled together, and it's going to be better than you know anything that's been done before. I think as with regard to a combined basketball and wrestling preview, but I would guess that in coming years it will be much better than this first edition. But just stick with us on Facebook and Twitter, and we will update you on distribution. I hope to have it out. I should have it out by the end of the first week of December at the very latest. I hope to have it out a little bit earlier, but I do want to give myself until the end of the first week of December. But in the future, I want to be sure and have it out by the time those first basketball games can go off.
Anytime you do something for the first time, most of the time that's the hardest year, and then it gets a lot easier as you learn and make notes and try to improve from year one to year two, from two to three, and so forth and so on. All right, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday to preview the state championships. That work for you?
Sounds great.
Fantastic. John Betts of Kansas Pregame. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.